Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
Okay, here we are. This is episode 11 of the Automate and Grow podcast, and I'm here today with Phil K. James of Good Milkshake Digital. And Phil's background really is he helps bring digital marketing and storytelling to local businesses in his area. And I wanted to talk to Phil today because he's doing some really interesting things around the Facebook platform and video that I thought would be a really good learning for people. So Phil, thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
And I might have a little bit of background noise because I'm here at The Point in El Segundo, California today. So this is the first attempt to do an outdoor version of the podcast on my
end. You're just showing off at this point. It's raining here in Iowa.
Oh, no.
So it's okay.
So I think that's a good segue, which is you're based in Iowa. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with digital marketing and what is Good Milkshake.
It goes back to my days in. I mean, how far back do you want to go?
You tell me.
I'll do like the 60
the Scooby Doo moment.
all right. So back in 1999, I started a road race here, and basically. It's a race that's pretty popular. It's been around here for over 20 years now, and or almost 20 years. And basically, what I did was it was actually 1997. Sorry, did it as a high school project sort of thing. Just kind of wanted to raise money for a local charity. And I realized I had a knack for dealing with people, specifically gathering big groups of people, breaking it up into small problems, and having other people do the work for me.
Oh, great!
So what I did was I kind of took that experience. When I went to college, I went to work I got involved in a political campaign. Obviously, Iowa is huge with the caucus and being the first in the nation here. I went to work for the Bill Bradley for President campaign.
Oh, wow.
Former New Jersey senator. And I was kind of the campus organizer on my campus. And I did all sorts of stuff there. And so I basically took that into my career after I graduated. I have no marketing background. I graduated with a degree in French and history.
Oh, wow.
Parlez-vous
français un petit peu?
Un petit peu.
Je suis Canadien.
Right. It's funny that, I rarely get to use it, but I've actually got to use it a couple times recently with marketing folks around the world. So
oh, great.
It's fun. I got involved in politics. I worked for politics for about 5 years. Obviously, a lot of organizing, a lot of like hand-to-hand combat sort of stuff. And so a couple years after that, my brother and I opened up a coffee shop together here in Des Moines. And it's still around. It's called Mars Cafe. Beautiful place. But we decided we'd rather be brothers than business partners.
Okay.
So we split off but we spent about $400 that first year in marketing. The way we did it was,
oh my God,
that was kind of the very beginning of MySpace. And MySpace was just getting going, and we attacked it. And our plan was to absolutely ruin MySpace for everybody else. And I think we did a good job.
Okay.
So what we did was we ran up our follower count to about 7,000 local people. And
wow.
These were kids. And it was great. We basically just ran off all of our marketing through MySpace, and then built a pretty hefty size email list off of that MySpace, kind of piggybacking off of that space. And of course, after we split off, I've kind of been doing marketing ever since in a bunch of different capacities. About 5 years ago, I started this firm, Good Milkshake, and for a while it was just a side hustle, kind of on top of a 9-to-5. For about the last 2 years, I've been doing basically marketing for restaurants.
Oh, amazing.
So, anything, and I've expanded recently after being approached by a number of people to do marketing for small business. So basically my big focus is lead generation for mom and pa type plumbing businesses.
Oh, okay.
I really love getting dirty in the weeds with people that are just trying to make a family work and see if they can make it into a real business. So
you're really an enabler of kind of entrepreneurialism in your area, it sounds like, because I think it's an important function, obviously. You need
I'm sorry,
lots
what?
Of...
Well, I broke up there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I'm,
I'm saying, so you're kind of an enabler of entrepreneurialism in your area, but really, because you're performing an important function that probably not a lot of businesses understand.
Well, there's a big void here. I mean, there are a couple of digital agencies, and they do a great job. But what a lot of them really don't understand is that engagement's important. Right. I don't take anything away from that. Branding is super important. But those are kind of, I mean, almost surface level things that even, you know, the biggest and the smallest ad agencies understand. What really irks me as a former business owner is when people don't really understand that customers drive the business. And what I mean is that if you can't prove that you're getting people in the door, then don't even bother. Dealing with social.
Interesting.
Branding is one thing. So if you have tons of customers, if you're doing great, if you just want to have a nice little pretty Instagram feed, great. Go do that, right?
Right.
But my big thing is, look, if I have a guy that is, you know, for example, I got a guy that I work with that's a local carpenter. Woodworking, custom cabinetry, beautiful kitchens, and all sorts of stuff like that. If I have him, coming at me and saying, well, Phil, how'd you do this month? I say, well, I got you, 45 likes on this post. I mean, he'll say,
doesn't matter to him.
That doesn't pay for my help.
Right.
So go find me some leads.
So I really like your very practical approach to this, because I think that's one of the big challenges that people have with, or the problems they have with the concept of social marketing. But what you're talking about is taking it from something that's like ethereal, which is, oh, I got likes. Who cares? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you have an expertise in turning that attention into actual customers. And I'm curious kind of like what your at least process is and what people can learn from that.
Well, I mean, it all starts with getting people to shake hands with you before you open the door. So obviously it starts with the branding. And I don't want to take anything away from that. All that stuff is super important. I spend a lot of time on things like, just making sure that it's consistent with the brand, the sort of customer avatars that I build out with clients. So you sit down and figure out who their customer is. And then what we do is, it's basically I walk them through the process. We walk through the process together. We sort of, I try to coach them as much as possible on what I'm doing and what I'm planning on doing. And it's getting to know the customer first. It's really getting to know fully getting to know the customer before you even, decide to spend a penny. And I kind of follow the Pareto principle, the 80-20 sort of thing. And what I mean by that, for listeners, I'm sure everybody's heard of a version of that, is I try to find the 20% of the work that finds the 80% of results, or vice versa. I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that I try to...
You get leverage out of the work that you do.
An efficient outlet for people to create content at scale. So, for example, I got one guy, like I said, my carpenter dude. We filmed Facebook Live and cut that up into really tiny chunks. And took some of that video and repackaged it, repurposed it, and then took that job, created little tiny, memes out of it and things like that, and created contests that would actually bring people into the bot and into a landing page to become customers. So that's been great. He's gotten something like 14 leads in the last 3 months.
Wow!
For him, it's a huge boost, right? So.
So you hit on a couple of things that are important, I think. One is, people that are not normally content creators, it sounds like you've addressed that reality, which is give them an easy task where they can create one piece of content that you repurpose. So that sounds like the first step. And then you kind of talked about then contests, and I'm kind of curious how that works, where it sounds, is that like a key aspect of getting what you would call engagement, where someone's like interacting with them?
Yeah, it's for example, Facebook really frowns on contests. So sort of like this post for, enter into a contest. What I like to do is I like to say we give away gifts. This isn't necessarily a contest, so to speak. From what I've heard from Facebook and others, as long as you're not giving away things in a sort of a shady manner, people are okay with just giving away gifts. So these are the things we do. We'll give away a 25% discount. Just basically, 25% gift from us off of a service, or half off of a gift, or free dessert with a meal, in exchange for them, tagging a friend in the comments. Like I said, it's at this point it's kind of a gray area, so I'm extra cautious with how we word things. I know accounts have been shut down and things like that, but yes, contests are obviously, getting people into the bot, subscribed, and then following them up with content and a personality that doesn't feel like email.
Interesting. So you mentioned, just so I can, you talk about the bot twice. So maybe just for people that are watching that may don't know what you're referring to,
sure.
Maybe explain what the Facebook bot is.
Sure. Messenger bots really opened up about 15 months or so. Facebook really opened up the API for the this Messenger, basically Messenger ads, right? And what that did is basically there are a couple main players. There are a few of them that are doing a really good job, but two in particular, MiniChat and ChatFuel. Basically, what they do is they allow you to hook up your Facebook page to this chat platform that allows you to accept subscribers, so to speak, to your bot, right? So that means, somebody comes to your page and wants to message you. They actually have to subscribe to or in order to continue with chatting with you. So it's just a way, it's a way to personally weave people through. And what these two platforms do is it helps the client weave people through the automated platform. So for example, I have a restaurant client, and somebody wants to make a reservation, and I have a little widget on the front page of the site that's attached to my bot. Of the client's website, and basically what that does is it allows them to walk them through. They can either answer a question. Let's say they have a private event coming up, and they have questions about that. I walk them through a little sequence of, I'd love to, here are the rooms that are available. Here are the, the different criteria that we have for if it's a wedding, a baby shower, that sort of thing. And I sort of just walk them through the process. That takes a lot off the plate off the restaurant. So restaurant owners.
Really interesting. Like, so you're use this platform, it sounds like, and some people may understand this and not, but there's a concept of email sequences, which is rather than having a person send out an email today, an email in 3 days, email in 7 days, that you create an automation where mm-hmm. there's a sequence. It sounds like what you're doing is very similar, except it's a little bit more conversational. So it's like you're providing prompts and then replies so it looks like a conversation in the chat window.
And think about what it is. Think about what it's instantaneous. So let's say somebody has a question about, I need a reservation for this weekend. I can sort of walk them through the whole process of the conversation without having to reply back and forth, without having them without having them skip off and basically click over that. And head to a third-party site, for example, to make a reservation. They can make it directly into the bot.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Huh. It's now not dependent upon.
This one in particular is something I'm experimenting with. The other ones that I currently use actually go on to things like OpenTable, and they have to do it that way. But basically, it's trying to make it easy for people to respond directly, and obviously it goes directly to a place where they are already interacting with their friends, so it feels more personal, right? So people are always looking for that extra way to connect with their customers, and as long as they're mindful that Messenger is not email,
mm-hmm.
As long as they're mindful of that, and that they treat it as obviously Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, completely different platforms. Think of it that way. It's a completely separate ecosystem. You really have to think of it in more of a personal type of way.
But it sounds like the power of that is that you're almost creating like a digital sales agent that is not dependent upon someone being awake when I interact with it. It's not depending upon me responding in a timely manner. It's instantaneous response. It's give and take. So there's a prompt. I ask a question. It replies, or it's asking me a question. I'm, you know, taking that information, giving a reply. So it's an entire conversation, what you're describing, that I would maybe have with a person normally. I could scale that up to however many potential guests from my restaurant or my store.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's what I love. That's what I love about the potential here is that, yes, obviously it's a little bit of a sales agent. You were talking a little bit earlier about realtors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I've actually built a demo bot that, you know, for realtors that, sellers or buyers, and basically walk somebody through the house with just a couple clicks. Give them an option of, you know, how many bathrooms, how many bedrooms you're looking for, and then we're able to send them basically, you know, walk them through the process of basically almost a virtual open house without having to go to a third-party site. Those are still pretty early, and I've seen a couple of them that are really good, but the potential for something like that, or if, let's say, if you're an e-commerce site, for example, if you have a couple products that you want to walk somebody through, you imagine the potential of having that at your fingertips. What product are you looking for? I'm looking for this. Let's say you're a nutritional supplement company. I'm looking to bulk up. I'm looking to get more endurance. I'm looking to get more, speed for my workouts. Somebody kind of walk through a process of that. And then also you have the power of Facebook demographics at your fingertips. So let's say you're able to segment it by gender, either male, female, neutral, gender, whatever it is. You're able to sort these things in a way that can personalize it even further. And as people walk through these bots and click on different things, you're able to tag them and basically segment them even further, so that a couple, let's say you have a list of 10,000 people, 1,000 of those are weightlifters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to send specific content directly to those people without alienating the rest of your audience.
And then some are yoga guys, or some are cycling. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. It's that. I mean, that in that respect, it's similar to the whole segmentation.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned two products, one being ManyChat and one being, I think, Chat Fuel. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are those the tools that, am I gathering information on a customer who becomes known? So like I take an anonymous person, and I think what you're saying is that the benefit is now because it's showing up in their chat window, a conversation starts, but it's exposed to me who they are. And then you're saying that through these other tools like ManyChat or Chat Fuel, I can build it so that I'm gathering information and segmenting them into a funnel.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
you're
wow.
able to segment
okay.
it based on the answers that they give in the conversations.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if somebody is interested in private events, for example, I'll just use my restaurant example. Somebody clicks on their private event box, and they're automatically tagged forever as being somebody that's interested in private events. So let's say I have a restaurant client. We have this plan for this year for them. It's to get 10 customers from the spot. It's just something that we came up with together, and we're basically using it to with a couple of Facebook ads in there that are based around basically trying to get corporate events in there. So it's aimed at HR managers and things like that. And the ad is, when people click on the ad, and they, what they're able to do is, they're able to say, okay, this is for a corporate event, this is for a luncheon, this is for this and that. And we're able to gather all that information, and let's say around, the holidays next year, we'll be able to blast out a couple of sequences aimed specifically at those HR managers or corporate events to their, this space in downtown Des Moines. So
the second part, the front end part, you're saying is you're using the Facebook ad platform to target a segment, and then you're gaining information back on who they are specifically, and then further you're basing that funnel to confirm what you guessed based upon the ad. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And then you're having like a conversation that you've built out for the customer that's right, not dependent upon, that's, I mean, that's an incredible automation process.
Like, and then listening to this, you can go back to these chats themselves. You can go back to the chats and sort of figure out what people are saying, how their responses are, and you can change it up based on what they're throwing out there. I really believe this is kind of like the web 1999 as far as Messenger goes.
Okay.
Obviously that's hyperbole.
Yeah.
There's no way it's that big. But as far as people's understanding of what capabilities are going to be, especially when you throw in AI in about, 2-3 years, you mentioned that you had somebody on your podcast recently. I haven't had a chance to go back and listen to it, but that's exciting.
Victor,
right?
Yeah.
The fact that you actually have an AI that you can communicate with that has a semi-personality,
Right. Rachel
it's,
Brooks.
It's a little bit spooky.
It is. Yep.
But that would take care of that. Let's say you plugged in that AI into a bot like this, and who knows, maybe Alexa down the line is going to have her own chatbot.
It makes a lot of sense.
Let's see it. Yeah, give me a reservation at this restaurant.
Well, and I think that's off topic, but for example, for Automate and Grow, we're going to be launching our skill on Alexa, right? So it's like another channel. And to your point, I see, because you can build Amazon skills, you could almost take what you're doing at some point and apply the same concept, right? Which is, if I'm promoting it, let's call it through a Facebook ad, and it's like, hey, do you have I'm targeting just Alexa users. I could get them to interact with me through Alexa almost. So I can see where you're going with that, where eventually, like, this whole concept of a very simple back and forth conversation is getting important data and getting someone engaged and making them a customer. And then if you take that to another level where, hey, everybody's got Alexa, or everyone's got, a Google Home device or a Siri, and now I can put those sequences into that type of funnel. It's amazing what's going to happen in the next couple of years. Like, it's kind of interesting.
And think about that. Think about the learning that happens with Alexa as it is.
Right.
So as you work with Alexa or Google or any of these types of these voice services, as you work with them, they sort of learn your behavior. So they learn, they know that I like to play Jeopardy every morning with my kids, because I like to show them that occasionally I know trivia stuff and it makes me look smart and feel good about myself.
Okay.
But anyway, the point is that, so like, what would happen is if these customers sort of gained their own persona within that AI. Is it freaky? Like,
because now I'm profiling.
This is completely, without outside of my pay grade, but I think about these things.
But it's not far off, right? Because I think I was talking with someone else about it where, we use Facebook Messenger to communicate with each other. And if I'm actually more and more using that as a voice channel, and then it's funny, I'll suddenly have ads targeted me about things I'm talking about. And what I've been told is that if you look at the user agreement by another industry expert, that if you look at the user agreement of that product, it says that they can use keywords coming out of your conversations to then use ad targeting.
Get out.
Yeah, apparently. I'll find, and actually I think he did a video on this, so I'll find it. So it's kind of interesting, like, oh, here's a free telephone service, but, and it's like Gmail, right? Because I think Gmail was probably the pioneer in that, where, hey, here's a really good free email product. Oh, by the way, I'm going to let you segment personal from marketing conversations, right? So, but there's a reason, right? Because they're using your keywords in email to target ads to you. So it's really, I can see where you're saying, where that customer persona kind of, right? It's kind of crazy. But so I think one of the things that I always deal with, and I wrote about this in my book, is about kind of the fear of technology. And, you'll have people that say, like, they're almost scared of technology in their business. But I think what you're saying is, as a provider through Good Milkshake, a restaurant doesn't have to be an expert in these things. They just have to understand that you have a process and there's a way for them to bring people into their business.
Exactly. I mean, you think about it this way too. Like, I mentioned Internet 99, and this is even 10 years ago, we're still figuring out whether or not they need to be online.
Right, that's the crazy thing.
Gary Vee talks about this a lot, so I don't want to, I listen to a lot of these things that he says. But like, I think back to the first time one of my good friends, who's my age, he's a restaurant owner. And this is like 7-8 years ago, and he had this crappy site, and just didn't see much of a need for the upgrade.
Right.
And but now he's all over it, and I think that's kind of where Messenger is. I think it's important, when you were talking about a restaurant owner doesn't have to know exactly the process and everything that I do and all that sort of thing. I do think it's important for small business owners to understand the technology so they understand what they're getting themselves into. Because there are a lot of shysters out there.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of people that will just build crappy bots, and maybe they're developers and they're not marketers. And so, it's important to have somebody, I think, well, this is me being biased, but it's important to have somebody that has sort of the cross section of I'm not a developer, but I'm kind of a nerd translator.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So like I understand that stuff.
Totally get it.
I can't go in and actually. I can't code a website.
Sure.
Crap. Right. But I can. But I understand how it works. I understand how HTML works. I understand how UX and UI and like the importance of having a good infrastructure for design and all that stuff. So I understand how this stuff works. It's important to have somebody with that sort of knowledge, at least basic knowledge for how that works, and somebody that understands how
the business,
how empathy, right? How to employ empathy to get people in the doors and keep them coming back.
That's amazing. I think a friend of mine said on an earlier episode, he said that marketers are almost like, and digital entrepreneurs are almost like practicing anthropology. So they're observing customers in the wild, right? And that's almost kind of what you're describing, which is, yes, I get the technology, and I have a team that will do that, but they need direction. And you use the word empathy, which is interesting because you're getting into the mind of their customer for them. You're trying to understand maybe what they don't. And I think that's a really powerful asset that a restaurant or a small business can have is someone like you that gets that message and bridges the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that type of hybrid role is almost like, we talk a lot about the fear of automation, the fear of AI and robots, but in the end, you need those people that bridge the technology and those things to other people.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a super, super skill, like it's an important superpower that someone like you has. And I think it's going to be more and more in demand, right?
Obviously, this is kind of what you do. So how do you do it?
Right.
How would you recommend your listeners, what's the first step they need to take?
So, I think what I write about and talk about is really, I try to give them...
I read your book, don't I?
That's a good
book.
Well, you don't have to, but if you want.
No, I will. I'm going to buy it.
I'm sure you could contribute to the book almost. So, I think my process is very similar to what you're describing. And I think it's really divided into two things. One, I want people... entrepreneurs to figure out what's their customer's problem. So that's where that goes to the empathy part that you're talking about. And I want them to think of how do I apply one of six transformational digital technologies to that customer problem. And this is a good example, right? Where the bot is part of computers and networks, maybe a little bit of element of AI. And they're taking a technology that Facebook's made very accessible and they're applying it to their customer problem. And that's how they come up with a unique solution. Because I think that's really important. It's kind of like how Peter Thiel talks about the concept of a monopoly not being some giant conglomerate that's immoral. It's your monopoly. It's your unique solution. It's your boutique solution. So that's the first thing I think we all entrepreneurs right now need to look at. The second is then how do you automate marketing, sales, and support? And how do you get busy work off of your plate? So how do you use someone like Phil, for example, who's really good at applying this technology to one problem, lead generation, because then you can go run your restaurant and do what you're good at. It's just like in the restaurant, you might not be the chef, you might not be the maitre d', but you're the proprietor, so you might be the personality, you might be really good at branding, that's why you employ a chef, that's why you employ a maitre d'. So it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. I think this goes to this trend also towards freelancing, which is people are being disintermediated from very narrow jobs where they're a factor of production And now they're being cast out into the wild. And it's like, well, now what do I do? Some people are doing that by choice, and probably the better people are. And they're recognizing that, hey, my unique superpower is this. And what they need is, they need to fill in those other gaps, though. Because suddenly being a freelancer, it's like you and I, like, I'm not good at X, or I don't want to do X. So I need to find someone that is, because it's still important. So then, you know, my whole process, really, that I think what you're talking about is a similar, you know, but I'm a little, maybe a little more macro, is automate things that are repetitive, but important. And then free up human time so that you're getting your best value out of yourself and people that you employ. And that might be a freelancer, that might be someone that you put on your staff, but I think, you know, it's coming more to like almost like collectives, right? So you and I might work, and I know you're going to be really good at building Facebook traffic, converting it, and then getting it to do something, whereas I'm really good maybe at product creation. So we, you know, that gives you a logical, you know, natural ally, right? So I think that concept of collectivism is really going to grow. And that's kind of, you know, what I see, and that's kind of my approach to it, which I think is very analogous to what you're talking about.
There's like a Venn diagram there, probably, between like libertarian and like super socialist in there. And there's
maybe
sort of like a mix there. I like that.
Well, I think I lean more towards maybe a third alternative, which is, I think the concept of freelance to freedom, because I think in the end, I don't need you in my way. I don't need you to coddle me. If we're giving people the education and tools on, hey, this is the way the world's going, but here's the opportunity, and here's how you structure and organize your business. Because in the end, if I'm a freelancer and I have a boutique service, I'm in business, and I need to address marketing myself, selling to my customers, and then supporting them. And I think that's kind of my message. And I think you're a very, very important aspect of that in your role. Like, and it may be to a very small subset of businesses, but it could also be the largest ones. Like, when you, if you want to scale it, you could do that, right?
Oh, I mean, what I think about a lot is, you know, the more and more I talk to people, like this past week was just an incredible amount of activity that I did. And the more and more that I actually speak with people and realize that there are people that need this, the bigger I start to think. And it makes me think that, like, why aren't Fortune 500 companies in my area approaching this in the same way?
Right. And they might be with different tools. You know, they might be using a Conversica, right, for example.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you couldn't be the person to introduce them to a Conversica. Because, you know, Conversica team might be email, and it might be a B2B type or a B2C, but tomorrow it's going to be bots, and tomorrow it's going to be Alexa. Because to your point, it's going to deal with higher volume. Like if someone has 10,000 leads a month versus 10.
Sure.
So I think it's just another tool for you as that digital anthropologist that you could potentially, you know, do something.
Okay, that's going on my business card, digital anthropologist.
I like it. It suits, right? Like, well, hey, Phil, I want to be conscious of your time, and I know that you're kind of a busy guy, so I want to ask you two questions to kind of wrap up. And actually, I'll also ask if you can share with us, what's the best way to get in touch with you, and how would people work with you?
I love Twitter. Twitter's my favorite outlet. Twitter is just good, at Good Milkshake.
Okay.
Another one, obviously, is my website, which is kind of in flux right now. So as I transition away from strictly restaurants to more lead generation and in coaching and that sort of thing. And that's at goodmilkshake.com.
Great.
It's like it sounds. So.
Okay, and then I'm going to wrap on two questions. The first one is, how are you changing the world?
I love the idea of how entrepreneurship builds community. And, you know, to me, I've been writing a lot about this, journaling a lot about it, especially with this 10X mentorship program that,
which is how we met. Yep.
With Cardone. Yeah. And you look in this group, and this is about 2,000 entrepreneurs in this little Facebook group. But when I go, it's positive encouragement. It is advice, like real life advice, how to deal with relationships, how to deal with Facebook marketing, how to you know, how to complete a sale. And obviously it goes back to sort of the head and founder, you know, Cardone, Grant Cardone. And, but like it's gotten me obsessed with this idea of entrepreneurship as community.
Hmm.
The fact that you know, every cliche about this sort of rising tide lifts all boats, and it's especially true online. More and more, we're seeing that there's a separation right now between the enormous you know, companies. Amazon's taken over the world,
right?
You know? And the hundreds of thousands of online e-commerce stores that are selling boutique products, bespoke products, things like Etsy, mm-hmm. you know, Shopify, your Canadian brothers, and sisters, and basically, it's exciting to me because there is something for everybody, and it's opened up my mind so much because I've spent my entire life here in Des Moines, Iowa, with the exception of spending time in France and, you know,
sure.
a little time in LA, Seattle, Minneapolis, but you know, I spent my entire life in Iowa, and so it's very easy for folks here to sort of think of their world as this is it, right? But being online and then finding out that there's somebody across town right now that's selling purses to people in France,
right,
east side of Des Moines, Iowa, that blows my mind. And this, there's no way this would have happened like 15 years ago.
Right.
And if it did, it
even was 7 years ago, right? Right? Like even 7 years ago, right?
So the idea that like I can connect with that person and learn something and help them help themselves. And maybe learn something about how I can help myself. I'm obsessed with that idea, the idea of entrepreneurship as sort of this global community.
Amazing. And you play a very important role in that, I think, in what you're doing. So you have a unique perspective that I appreciate.
If people ever come to Des Moines, I know where to buy the best beer.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense because I don't know. Hopefully, you're not paying for any meals anymore.
Coffee too.
I'll wrap up with one final thing that I ask people. When we talk to interesting guests, we would like basically a nomination from you for other interesting guests that would kind of fit in the theme of Automate and Grow, and they can be either an expert or an entrepreneur. Definitely, you know, outside of people that we know is always great. So I want you to nominate someone that you think that you would be willing to introduce us to and that should be a guest on Automate and Grow.
There is somebody locally here. I don't know if you're familiar with Iowa at all, I would speak to somebody at the World Food Prize.
Okay.
The World Food Prize is a prize, basically it was named after Norman Borlaug. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not, no.
Borlaug was a geneticist, and basically he worked at Iowa State University and is largely responsible for saving a billion lives.
Wow, okay.
He created something called dwarf wheat, which basically cut the stalk of wheat, and then he also applied the same principles to rice, corn, all sorts of stuff. Now, regardless of how you feel about monoculture and everything, and I had my own opinions about that, what the World Food Prize does is it basically sets people up to encourage this sort of, I think it's a $500,000 prize every year. It's done right here in Des Moines. People from all over the world come, and you know, we had a couple of years ago, the current president of China was in town.
Oh wow!
Xi, yep. Right. At the time, I guess it was the vice premier or whatever it was. But the point is that it brings in people from all over the world, and I have a couple of people that might like to speak with. Do I have to put them on the spot now?
Yeah, Nate, call them out. Let's see, what's their name?
But I'm thinking about, like, because there's a way to fit in, like, how technology sort of fits into this whole idea of feeding the world.
Yeah.
And it's a big part of what they do, so.
So who are we going to talk to?
I'm thinking about Libby Crimmings. She's just a friend. And,
okay.
And, you know, I'd be happy to put you in touch with her.
Terrific. So Libby, you've been nominated.
She basically does a lot of the coordination for the food prize.
Amazing. Okay, that's great.
And a lot of it's PR and things like that. So.
Wonderful. So Libby, you've been nominated. We're going to get connected with you. And I'm going to wrap up on that. Yeah. Phil, thank you very much. I really appreciate your insight. And I love Good Milkshake. Terrific brand, as I've stated before. Don't change it. Even though what you're doing going into, I love it.
All right, I won't change it.
Otherwise, give it to me.
All right, I'm going to buy your book right now.
Thank you.
There's a lot of pressure there now.
Oh, there's no pressure.
This is sort of this Midwestern, like, recovering Catholic sort of.
It's not coming from me. So, Phil, thank you very much. I'm going to wrap up on that. Have a great day. And this has been another episode, episode 11 of Automate and Grow.
Okay, you betcha. Great to be here.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.